Hello, everyone. I'm pleased today to welcome John Launius, a leading expert in fragrance hypnosis and the CEO of Shihan Wellness and Shihan Consultants. With an impressive background spanning government, education, technology, media, and marketing, John brings unparalleled expertise to his roles as an executive talent development coach, organizational culture consultant, and peak performance facilitator. John is also a certified master of ceremonies in the ancient Japanese tradition of incense appreciation, or Kodo, offering unique experiences like the incense journey and therapeutic fragrance hypnosis. He holds multiple black belts, including a third degree in Goju Ryu Aikido. He has extensive experience as a defense contractor for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and other intelligence agencies, training military and first responders. As a seasoned public speaker and author, John's best-selling book, The Life and Times of Missouri's Charles Parsons, Between Art and War, showcases his passion for history and storytelling. His next book, Love and Letters in World War II, will be released in 2025. Today, we will dive with John into the fascinating world of hypnosis, with a special focus on the intriguing practice of fragrance hypnosis, and how this can be used to unlock peak performance. John, welcome to the IJK podcast.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate that very much. Thank you for the very kind introduction.
Thank you for joining us today. John, can you start by giving us a broad overview of what hypnosis is and how it works?
Sure. So hypnosis really is a conversation between the conscious and the subconscious mind. And when we look at the origins of hypnosis, I mean, some people think it's a relatively new phenomenon, when in actuality, hypnosis has its roots in ancient civilizations where practices resembling hypnosis were used in healing rituals in Egypt and in Greece and in India thousands and thousands of years ago. And so how we use it today is really a way for us to get in tune with our subconscious and conscious minds. And if you're not too familiar with the subconscious, studies have shown that the subconscious develops between the ages of 8 and 13. And so, you know, you've heard jokes over the years about talking about your inner child. Well, when in actuality, we are carrying around our inner child, which is our subconscious, which develops between the ages of 8 and 13. After the ages of 8 and 13, it starts to close. And so what you're carrying around is the development of the things that you were integrating and remembering and imprinting into your body, mind, and spirit when you were younger. And so hypnosis is a way to lower the barrier between the conscious and the subconscious so that we can start to create agreement. Because if you believe one thing and you say to yourself another, then there's subconscious and conscious disagreement. And that can cause issues with success, with your effectiveness in really all areas of your life. And so I bring aspects of hypnosis and true full hypnosis to everything that I do. So if I'm working in the corporate space, for example, I may use some exercises that relate to hypnosis, but I may not call it that. How about that for an introduction?
That's a great introduction. Thank you. Now, there are lots of misunderstanding around hypnosis. Maybe I'm one of them. I know I'm one of the people who confound hypnosis for something else. Can you clarify some common myth versus the reality of what hypnosis can do, actually?
Sure. So contrary to myth, you know, when you are under hypnosis, you're not under someone else's control. So when I'm working with somebody, they remain aware and they can reject any suggestion that they're uncomfortable with. So sometimes people will make a joke about hypnosis where I'll make you bark like a dog. Well, I'm not going to make you bark like a dog unless you want to bark like a dog, because, you know, nowadays there's some people that enjoy that.
Well said.
But, you know, what it's really about, it's about brainwave changes, and it's about neuroplasticity, and it's about that mind-body interaction. And so it underscores the mind-body connection, demonstrating how mental states can directly affect our physical health, such as reducing stress-induced illnesses. Some of the other, myths about hypnosis is that sometimes it's believed that hypnosis only works on weak-minded individuals, but in reality, it requires focus and can be more effective on those with strong mental faculties. And so we find that the more intelligent you are, the better that you do with hypnosis. Also, while hypnosis is powerful, it's not a magic bullet. And so lasting change typically requires multiple sessions where individuals, you know, work in active participation. So, for example, if you were somebody who was working with me over Zoom, what we would do at a minimum are four sessions. And those four sessions would be designed around the goals that you're looking for. And there's also homework between each session. And so it's one thing to start to put a new habit in place, but it's another thing to reinforce it through conversation, through actual specific actions that create lasting change that make a profound difference.
All right. Now let's deep dive a little bit into hypnosis. How does hypnosis impact the mind and body, and why is it an effective tool for personal achievement?
Sure. So on one level, let's talk a little bit about performance enhancement. So increased focus. You know, we now live in a world today where everyone kind of lives in this thing, right? And they're all over it. And so the focus that we have has become less and less. You know, it's not a surprise that social media, you know, reels are the length that they are, or little videos online are the length that they are. And so the idea here is that hypnosis can significantly improve focus and concentration, allowing individuals to perform complex tasks with greater efficiency as well as accuracy. Also, enhance creativity. I work with a lot of people in music and in business. And sometimes, you know, if you're an artist, like a true artist where you're painting or sculpting, you may not think that business is creative. But in both cases, there's massive creativity that's required in order to bring the things that are in your head into physical reality. So by tapping into the subconscious, hypnosis can unleash creativity, helping everyone to come up with innovative solutions to problems, and again also boosting productivity. You know, regular use of hypnosis can increase productivity by eliminating procrastination and reinforcing a disciplined work ethic, which at the end of the day, it's about consistency. You know, when you want to achieve a goal, if you're working on it every day, like as a writer, if I'm not writing every day, I'm not going to move toward the finish of that book. And so hypnosis, as well as martial arts, as well as incense, as well as all the things that I bring to both my corporate and wellness clients, really are about increasing focus, enhancing creativity, and boosting productivity.
All right. You've mentioned now a few examples and on how hypnosis can be transformative. Can you also share some other examples of how it's being used to enhance like professional performance, for example? Like, can we give like some tangible scenarios?
Sure. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about stress management. Okay. So because the way that human beings are designed, you know, we have a negativity bias. And in other words, unless trained otherwise, when we begin almost anything, we're going to be negative about it. And where that comes from is in our DNA, back to our fight or flight mechanism, our fight, flight or freeze mechanism, where, you know, we might be trepidatious. If we failed before, you know, we don't want to fail again and kind of feel that awful feeling. And so one of the first things we look at is managing your stress. And so relaxation techniques, you know, hypnosis teaches powerful relaxation techniques that can be used to alleviate stress and maintain calm in high pressure situations. I don't know if you've noticed it yet or not, but our society today is pretty high pressure. And so being able to mitigate that, you know, really makes a big deal, a big difference. You know, we also live in a world now where social media is important and being out in front of people is important. And yet, you know, public speaking is a fear that humans have more than death. And so how do you, you know, bring that into place? And that leads into emotional regulation. So through hypnosis, you know, individuals can learn to manage their emotions better and reduce the impact of stress on their daily lives. Also resilience building, you know, it can really prepare people mentally, you know, to handle stress. And so, you know, for example, I have a client who is a pretty powerful CEO, but he does not at all like to talk publicly. And so there's lots of different ways that he's worked on that. So he finally realizes that this is something that I need to work on and do. And so beyond the hypnosis, we'll actually do different types of exercises where he's able to really talk to one person in the audience, as opposed to a thousand or so. So there are little games that we play that trick the mind, at least initially, into having it be okay to express yourself, to really be okay with whatever it is you need to communicate. And so whether you're learning to quit smoking, whether you're, you know, learning to reduce anxiety, whether you're looking to have more motivation, these are all things that can be very effective through hypnosis and some of the other modalities that I offer.
Okay. John, I heard in the past that hypnosis has even some medical applications. Like, is it true, like, hypnosis allows certain individuals to get rid of some skin conditions that they have, or some like warts, for example, or I heard tales like that. Is it true, or is this is like hovering on the science fiction realm?
Well, some of it can be a little bit of science fiction, and so again, hypnosis isn't a magic bullet, meaning that it's not going to solve necessarily everything. But it is interesting to realize that some of the top 100 Fortune 100 companies are using hypnosis as a part of their wellness programs. You can also look at the Mayo Clinic. You can look at some of the largest medical organizations in the United States and around the world, for that matter, that are using hypnosis as ways to reduce pain, as ways to begin to change what's happening within our bodies. This sounds woo-woo at first if you haven't really studied this, but the mind is everything. If you look around, everything that you're in front of right now, for the most part, unless it's natural, has been invented and been brought into reality by our minds or by someone's mind, right? And so we are our body. You know, our body is us. And so, you know, if you have a negative thought or emotion going on every day, well, that's going to impact you from a physical standpoint. If you are a religious person and you are really refined in your religiosity, you know, you will feel better because you have a more of a connection to the divine. There are some ancient quotes talking about how when we are able to calm our mind, then we are able to have more an experience of the divine, by whichever name that you call it. I mean, if you're a worldly person, you know there's more than just one religion in the world, and there's more than just one philosophy. And so, but at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And so, you know, there are recurring motifs with us as human beings that look to what makes us successful and what doesn't, what satisfies us from all levels of our organism, you know, spiritual, mental, physical, etc. You know, you talked about your martial arts background. You know, when we are studying a martial art, or even when we're studying yoga or other things that create that mind-body connection, we begin to feel more comfortable in our skin, and we begin to feel more comfortable with the world around us. There's a philosopher by the name of Alan Watts, and Alan Watts talks about how, you know, sometimes people feel alone and afraid in a world they never made. And so, you know, we're born and we come into the world. And so how do we find our way with that? Well, some of that is experimentation. Some of that is what we're, you know, trained to do when we're young, how we're indoctrinated. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm saying, like, you know, if I grew up in a Christian household, I'm going to learn Christian principles. If I grow up, you know, in any other religion, you know, I will learn those different principles. Well, as you age, is that really you, or is that what you inherited? And so, you know, if you're a person who likes to grow, and I have a good sense that you and your listeners are people that do, there's this concept of there, you know, anytime you grow, there's this idea that you're moving to move forward, you have to go back. And what I mean by that is that if you've been in a long-term relationship and there was a lot of, you know, maybe negativity that got developed in that relationship, when you break up, you know, there's going to be hurt and there's going to be, you know, feelings of who knows what, but you may need to take the time to reconcile that for yourself before you move into a new relationship. If you don't resolve those things from the past relationship, people have made jokes for hundreds of years probably in bringing baggage into that next relationship. Well, that next relationship can be not just your romantic partners. It can be the companies that you work for. It can be the friends that you make. It can be all of that. And so in hypnosis, we have a concept called imprints. And if you look back at your entire life, there are things that you're going to remember. about your life, positive and negative. So the positives are fantastic because they kind of inform who you are and what you're going to be. Well, the interesting thing is that the negative memories that you have also inform you about who you are and what you're going to be. And so memory is wonderful in that it tells us who we are, but it also tells us who we are. And so if I'm working with somebody that has anxiety, or if I'm working with someone who has PTSD, or if I'm working with somebody, you know, who has been controlled by the past, you know, unwilling to try something new, is that, you know, this idea of going back to start to uncollapse the things that keep you from your greatness are some of the things that we work on in hypnosis, reinforcing, you know, positive behaviors, overcoming mental blocks, and really clarifying goals.
Yeah, great explanation, Sean. Just a question. You mentioned all that baggage from the past. Is this what Carl Jung refers to as the shadow? This is kind of the same concept?
Same concept. I mean, it's the shadow. So let's delve into that for a minute. If I'm standing in front of a very bright light, right? Everything in front of me is going to be illuminated, but behind me is going to be that shadow. Many people who are unwilling to grow ignore that shadow part of themselves. We all have it. The universe arises mutually, positive and negative together. And so when we are looking at our shadow self, if we're not acknowledging our shadow, it actually has control and power over us. If we look and go, you know what? Wow, I can be a really horrible person when I'm dealing with this issue. Or I can be a really horrible person dealing with that issue. Well, that's the shadow. And so by actually looking at it, there is absolute truth to talking things out. When you're in dialogue with somebody else, whether it's hypnosis, whether it's therapy, whether it's even a friend, you know, there's power in talking things out. One of my favorite things that I learned in my hypnosis training is how people communicate. People communicate essentially in two ways that kind of relate to the shadow, which is that, you know, you're either looking to expand your joy or you're looking to reduce your pain. So, for example, if a family member of mine just passed away, right? Well, if I'm telling you about that, am I expanding my joy or am I reducing my pain? You know, I'm reducing my pain because I'm talking about this piece, right? Or on the other hand, if, for example, I just got my dream job, I'm telling you about it not because I'm gloating, but I'm like, oh my gosh, it finally happened. I got my dream job. And so you're looking to expand your joy. So if you're listening to people, listen to what they're telling you. Are they expanding their joy or are they reducing their pain? And that will give you a very good place to start from when you're really looking to develop a powerful connection with another human being.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For someone new to hypnosis, John, what would be the first steps to start using it effectively in their daily lives?
Great question. So a lot of people, again, it's kind of earlier to the earlier parts of this conversation, there are misconceptions. And so, you know, I'm not woo-woo at all about it, even though I can talk woo-woo if you want. But, you know, it's for me, it's one of those things where I want people to be as effective as they want to be. And so I offer a 45-minute free hypnosis consultation. And my promise is this: at the end of the 45 minutes, you tell me yes or no, if this is something that you want to do. In addition, you'll know, like, for sure if this is for you or not. It's amazing the results that I generate with people, or they generate with themselves, because all hypnosis is self-hypnosis.
Oh. But really?
Can
you expand a bit on that concept?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So there was a recent article written in the St. Louis Business Journal about what I do. And this was the example that I use. So if you go out online and look up St. Louis Business Journal in my name, you can find the article. But here's what I said. We are always hypnotizing ourselves. And when you first say that, people are like, no, what are you talking about? Well, okay, here's the example. If you're in North America right now, we are in the election season, right? And so if you every day, 8 hours a day for 5 days, watched CNN news, so you're watching CNN every day, 8 hours a day for 5 days, at the end of those 5 days, you'll have a very particular view of the political landscape. If the next week you go watch Fox News, you watch Fox News 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, at the end of those 5 days, you'll have another particular view of the political landscape.
Well, absolutely.
So here's the question. What's true? What's right? Ultimately, what you decide is true and right is what you're going to then bring to the conversation. And okay. So in just in the same way that if you're on social media a lot, if you're looking at the same kind of content in social media, the algorithm will say, oh, okay, you want more of that. Let me feed you more of this. So in hypnosis, using the same concepts of the perception of the news and also the algorithm, well, what is it that you want? Do you want success? Well, great. We're going to start to train the hypnosis algorithm to have you to have more success. Are you going to look for new opportunities? Are you going to, you know, not procrastinate anymore? And okay. So using those same kinds of concepts, we're looking at your emotional responses. We're looking at memory encoding. We're looking at behavioral influence that starts to point to that if you're saying the same thing to yourself every day in a positive way, that's going to start to show up because the universe doesn't care whether you live or die. It's what you care about, and it's how you want to integrate that. So, you know, sometimes it becomes very difficult for us to change in life because of the people that are around us. If you're 55 years old and your mother still treats you like you're 11, you might want to have a conversation.
For sure. Absolutely. So based on what you just mentioned, it looks like the environment and what we are exposed to plays a big role in the effectiveness of hypnosis, or maybe on how someone can utilize and guide hypnosis in this or that direction, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. John, now let's dive a little bit into something particularly unique that you specialize in, which is fragrance hypnosis. Can we first explain what is this? What is fragrance hypnosis, and how did you first discover the connection between scent and hypnosis?
Great question. So let's go all the way back just for a minute to tell the origin story. So when I was 9 years old, I started studying two things, martial arts and world fragrance traditions. And how this happened was that my brother, who's a person with a disability, I am now his legal guardian, but when I was a kid, I felt inclined to protect him. Because he would get bullied, and I wasn't very good at fighting at all, and I failed pretty significantly. And so my mom thought it'd be smart to send me a martial arts class. Well, all that did was get me beat up even more, because then, you know, kids want to challenge the kid who's learning martial arts, right?
Absolutely.
Well, it paid off for me in the end, but Mr. Black was burning, my first martial arts teacher, Mr. Black, was burning what I call bad incense. But it was an entree into this really interesting world where what is this thing that we light up on a stick and there's smoke and there's fragrance. And he gave me some to take home. I didn't tell my mom. And then I was burning it in my room. And then all of a sudden, you could hear from across the house my mother running, you know, kicks the door and, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm burning incense. And she's like, well, you can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean you can't do that? You sent me to martial arts class. And she's like, no, you can do that. You just have to tell me so you don't burn the house down. And I was like, oh, okay.
She has a point.
right. Well, so my mother gave me a book on world religions. So my mother was a hippie and my dad was a military man. And if you spend any amount of time with me, I'm kind of the perfect amalgamation between the two of them.
Very different backgrounds.
Very much so. But really perfect, like two sides of the same coin, right? And so so I said, why are you giving me a book on world religions? And this is at age 9. And she's like, well, you know, there's more, you know, than one way up the mountain. And so you have to understand that incense has been with every culture and every religion since the beginning of written history and even before that. And so that started my process. And so when I was 13 years old, after my own study from ages of 9 to 13, when I was 13, I would meet a Japanese komoto. And a komoto is the equivalent of a tea master for the Japanese tea ceremony. Actually, both the incense ceremony and the tea ceremony come out of the tea ceremony culture during the Muromachi period. But the point is that I would then take formal instruction over the next 10 years to become a komoto. And a komoto, as you said, means master of ceremonies in the Japanese incense appreciation ceremony. And essentially, it's a guessing game where you use primarily aloes wood, which is a very expensive incense, to look at the nuances. And so there's a concept inside of that called listening to incense. And this is where we start to see how hypnosis and fragrance start to interact. So in the Japanese incense ceremony, the monko, meaning incense, mon meaning to listen, is that you're listening for the fragrance. You're listening for what is this communicating to me? And so if we're going to use modern therapeutic terms, we might say this is an exposure therapy. And so what happens is that true 100% pure incenses from nature are by their very nature, for the most part, relaxing. They're also, by their very nature, psychotropic in nature, meaning that psychotropics change the quality of your consciousness. Where alcohol is a psychotropic, it changes the quality of your consciousness. Well, incense has this tendency, especially the all-natural, pure incense, some of the heavy hitters, things like frankincense, sandalwood, aloes wood, Borneo camphor, other things like that, they refine the mind, and primarily through the terpenes. So with the legalization of marijuana in many places in the world now, you can talk about the terpene profile, where maybe 30 years ago when I was first giving public lectures, it was kind of odd to talk about that because cannabis was illegal. Where I live, it's legal, and it allows me to talk about it. I'm not advocating for it necessarily, but what I'm saying is that every plant in nature, every plant from the divine has the opportunity to heal. And so understanding that the terpenes that control the taste, the color, and the smell of everything in nature, the first step of fragrance hypnosis is deep relaxation. So if you're somebody who is working with me and you're like, well, I have anxiety. And by the way, even if you're on Zoom and you're like, oh, well, I can't work with John because I got to be in person. That's not true at all. Actually, if we work together over Zoom or over some other, you know, kind of a virtual platform, I'll actually send you a box of incense that we use through the four sessions. But back to this, the first level of this is deep relaxation. So the incenses that I will choose, first of all, will put you into deep relaxation. And also with the hypnosis that also leads to deep relaxation, you're going to be engaging simultaneously multiple senses. And so what we're accessing, first of all, is the limbic system. And the limbic system is that part of our brain that controls our memories, our emotions. And another one of my favorite quotes from hypnosis is talking about the person that controls the questions controls the emotions. And the person that controls the emotions controls the outcome. So we as human beings are emotional beings. And so by asking the proper question to elicit the proper emotional response, then we can start to control our emotional response to be able to have more of the goals that we want to have come into fruition and not just kind of sit out there like a someday kind of thought. The other aspect of fragrance hypnosis is that we're heightening our emotional release. So the use of scent can enhance the emotional release process during hypnosis, making the therapeutic experience more profound, and then finally getting into long-lasting effects. Like, do you have a favorite fragrance, Ahmad?
I like, in general, natural scents. I like the scent of cedarwood. So let me share a little bit about my background. So I'm Lebanese. I was born and raised in Lebanon. I currently live in Toronto in Canada. But in Lebanon, we have a very famous tree called the cedar tree. And that's the emblem of our flag as well.
Yeah.
So, and I love the smell of that, of the cedarwood.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of my favorites. I don't know if this is a candidate to be in for fragrance hypnosis or... Any plant can be used to achieve fragrance hypnosis results?
Yeah, well, so hang on a second. I'm going to walk away for like 3 seconds. I want to show you something. So when you come upstairs and you say, is this something we use in incense? This is an entire bag of cedar.
Okay, there you go.
So cedar is a wonderful fragrance in that it has a lot of apinine. And so apinine is a terpene that has calming effects. It's antibacterial, it's antimicrobial. So apinine also is the most prevalent terpene in all the natural world. And so when you talk about that fragrance, you know, when you're in the presence of that fragrance, it grounds you, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It grounds me, and it reminds me maybe as well of my native country.
Uh-huh.
So you know, and maybe that's one of the reasons I like it. Maybe it brings back also beautiful memories of my childhood and things like that. Yeah. I don't know if this this contributes to anything within fragrance hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can explain a little bit more how do these scents actually contribute into unlocking some memories or some emotional states that are probably key to performance.
Yeah. So what you just described in that, it reminds you of your home country or homeland, right?
Yeah.
So what you started to point to is exactly the way that I'll work with individuals that may have PTSD or some other kind of, you know, challenge around an emotional response. So
okay.
If I'm working with somebody that has PTSD from being in the military, right? One of the first questions I'll ask them is I'll say, where did you grow up? Because I know that, again, between the ages of 8 and 13, that the development of the subconscious becomes a really important aspect of how you see the world. And so if someone says, oh, well, you know, I grew up in a rural place, I said, well, what do you know what kind of trees were there? Oh, well, there was a lot of, like, pine trees, and there was a lot of, like, juniper trees and cedar and things like that. I'm like, ah, great. So I know to introduce those, at least initially, to the individual so that they can feel like that they're going back and experiencing these pieces before the trauma, right? So when you're in the presence of cedar wood, you know, you kind of already said it, but going back to, you know, these memories of being a child, and for the most part, they were probably pretty positive. You know, you're able to control then or bring back your particular way of being in the present moment that you know, suggests the way that you felt when you were younger. And so it's, you know, people make jokes about this whole inner child thing. But, you know, if you heal your inner child, you really begin to integrate. And that integration is what's important.
That,
you know, if you're not interested in looking at the things that you're challenged by, then you're going to perpetually be challenged by them. So there, you know, there's the expression, I think it was Jung that even said it, that what you resist persists.
Okay.
And so if we are resisting, it is persisting. And so that whole conversation around there's absolute truth to talking things out really does make a huge difference. You know, in how we see the world, and then also the kind of success we create.
So, John, rather than suppressing and resisting, you recommend integrating. You've used the word integrating, right? This is kind of key to achieve full potential.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And it's about finding the people around you that are going to support that.
Yes.
You know. Good.
Okay, I have a question. Maybe it's not directly linked to what we're talking about, but maybe it is. I've noticed from personal experience that when I was younger, my senses were more attuned to experiences, whether it's smell or seeing new things or listening to new things. And I have a feeling as I age, my organism is less impressed or maybe not registering as much things or samples as I used to do when I was maybe 10 years old. So does this have to do anything to do with age? Are we more, or are our bodies more attuned to remembering things and paying attention to small details, whether it's olfactive or auditive, when we are younger than when we are older?
Okay. Have you ever done that exercise where you fold a piece of paper and you can only fold it about 7 times? Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have. And then it becomes very difficult.
Yeah, exactly. So in my public talk yesterday, I gave a sold out public talk yesterday, an experience called the Incense Journey. And we were talking about the spiritual teachings of incense. And we got into this very subject. Well, I didn't understand for a very long time this whole process of what's referred to as unfolding, right? Well, as we move through life, you know, we're like folding a piece of paper. and we continue to fold that piece of paper. At some point, we can't fold that piece of paper anymore, and then we almost kind of have a breakdown. And so when we're looking at unfolding, really integrating, really opening ourselves up to all things, you know, we have to start to unfold that piece of paper for ourselves. Obviously, I'm being metaphorical here, but it's the idea that what is it that we need to let go of that keeps us from our radiance? So when we're younger, there's not a lot of stuff that's built up in the sense of our memories, our imprints, the things that we've put together. So when I'm working with children, you know, it becomes very fast for them to have the kind of success that they want, because there's less time in, there's less damage, there's less, you know, bad.
They're more receptive. Yeah.
Exactly. And they're more receptive, right? You know, we as adults have learned to mistrust or distrust. We you know, we've learned to do a whole number of things. And so it takes us sometimes a long time to be like, do I trust Imad? You know? And so it gets in the way of that. And so part of the reason why that I've developed, you know, a lot of the techniques that I do is that I want what you want. And it doesn't necessarily matter your background. I'm going to listen for you and what it is that you want. And that does connect back to the incense tradition, where in Monko, you're listening for. Well, you as another human being, at least for me as a Komoto, and I'll explain this. This is important. So one of the last things I promised before I received my rank as a Komoto is to be available to all people and not reject anyone. There's more things in the world that can separate us than there is that can connect us. So the benefit of the way that I've been trained is that I've learned to appreciate all the different religions, all the different cultures, you know, and when I'm working with somebody, what's important to you? And so that makes me a trusted partner very quickly in the things that, you know, that we're doing. And so even though some of these things are Japanese related specifically in the sense of how their language is, that these are things that go back, even though the Japanese incense tradition in its codified form is 700 years old. We know that incense appreciation begins 1400 years ago in 550 AD when Buddhism comes to Japan for the first time through the Korean Peninsula. But we see this same concept of incense appreciation in China, and we see it going back to India, and we see it going Near East and Far East. And the body of knowledge, when you really start to get into how incense has been used as a spiritual tool, how it's been used as a religious tool, how it's been used as a way to commune with other people, like this, I mean, the written history of incense alone, the written history is 6,000 years old.
Wow.
The archaeological.
It predates most civilizations.
It predates all of it. I mean, and then the archaeological evidence, obviously different from the written history, is 35,000 years old. And I love telling the story.
That's massive.
In the caves in southern France, there's a cave called Bear Skull Cave. And in Bear Skull Cave, there was a bear skull, hence the name, that was turned upside down 35,000 years ago and placed onto a raised rock. Well, some earlier iteration of us went outside, grabbed a bunch of pine needles, put them in there, lit them up, and then didn't touch it for 35,000 years. So we have seen incense being used as a way for some kind of devotional practice. We know that, I mean, we just see it in our minds right now, is that whether you're Catholic or whatever religion that you are, is that if you're lighting incense, whether it's in a stick form or just a, you know, a pile of material, that smoke is going to rise up. So our attention gets risen, you know, it gets moved toward the heavens. And then the smoke also starts to fill the space, and you're able to see this invisible world that's there. And so it doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter what culture you are. Incense is a human experience, and that's one of the things that I teach. And so when we go back to using this in hypnosis, the fragrance, there are things that do work for certain people in certain parts of the world because those plants are indigenous to those places. But also then, because of the chemistry that we're now able to figure out, is that I know that if you're oriented as a very natural person, there's about 7 or 8 fragrances I'm going to start with that are going to make an impact on you in a very positive way related to your goals, regardless of your background, regardless of your religion. All right. I'd like to talk a bit more about the incense journey, which you probably started to touch upon already. But I'd like to understand a little bit more about your program. What does the program entail, and what can someone expect during a typical fragrance hypnosis session?
Sure, absolutely. So what will happen in the fragrance hypnosis session, again, is that I'm beginning to dial in your susceptibility to accept suggestions that are in your best interest. And so by relaxing yourself, and you can do that through words, like if I pick a tone, that tone becomes relaxing, right? Well, if I'm giving you in the room a wonderful fragrance, that wonderful fragrance is already going to start to relax you. And so as we start to look again at the deep relaxation, what I'm then interested in is what is it that we need to do to have you have an emotional response and an emotional release that then relates to your goals. And so if you're somebody who has anxiety, well, what is it about the anxiety that you need to let go? Well, these fragrances, first of all, are going to lower your anxiety because then your RAS is going to be relaxing. Your parts of your system are going to be relaxing. The more relaxed you are, the deeper the healing that can take place. And so, you know, yes, you can do it just through words. There are plenty of hypnotists in the world that only use language.
And it's as effective? Is it as effective as using in fragrances?
It can be. I'm a little, you know, I've got my thoughts on this, where if somebody isn't scent-oriented at all, they should not work with me. But almost everybody is scent-oriented. So
a combination is the strongest, probably. Scent and words.
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. And so so that's where the fragrance, you know, hypnosis came from, which was, again, lowering the barrier between the conscious and the subconscious mind so that we can cause that integration so that there is no block. I mean, if water has no block, it can move mountains if it needs to. You know, there's a Japanese expression. Actually, there's two Japanese expressions that I use a lot in my teachings. One is mizu no kokoro, which means mind like water. And the other one is ko no kokoro, which means mind like incense. And let me share both. So in mizu no kokoro, mizu is really interesting in that water can become almost anything. It can become a very destructive force. It can be also at its primary and its most resting form is that it's content with the low places that people disdain. And yet it nourishes all things. And so since we are mostly water as human beings, you know, this idea of integrating, you know, mind like water, well, what is it that I need to be? Well, if I'm fighting something, well, I can't necessarily just be content with the low places. I might need to become a tsunami. I might need to become a big wave. I might need to become something that allows this form. And so the phenomenon of water allows it to become whatever it needs to become. It fills whatever space it needs to fill. And so I love that visual depiction when I'm working with people, because it's like, what kind of water do you need to be? Well, here's the funny thing. When you then connect water to incense, if you're watching the incense smoke, what does it look like? What do you think?
Yeah, it also moves freely, and it's a spiral.
Yeah, it moves like the movements of water, right? And so,
absolutely, yes.
So then the next piece of this is the ko no kokoro, the mind like water. Sorry, so some the
mind like incense.
Yeah, mind like incense. And so then, you know, if I am burning with you from a metaphorical or analogy standpoint, depending on how you want to use it, is that if my pure fragrance is matching your pure fragrance, and I'm not being fake with you, or I don't have a lot of smoke in front of me that allows you to not see who I am, then we begin to really just share who we are and really make a very powerful connection. There isn't a mistake in that when we talk about cold calling in sales, or we talk about warm introduction, as we start to warm up in the same way that we warm the incense up, is that we've got this fragrance that begins to emerge. If you warm something up too much and you get into a heated argument, well, then there may be fire and smoke and this and that. And so all of these, this imagery assists me in working with different aspects of your mind to, again, to create you know, the effectiveness that you're looking for, the success that you want in all areas of your life.
Okay, very, very interesting. John, what are some of the most profound effects you've seen from people who've engaged in fragrance hypnosis? This could be past patients you've treated or people you've worked with. Can you give us like some examples of, surprising or impressive maybe recoveries or changes in mindsets?
Yeah. So, well, the two things I would say. So, the first story would be physical, and then the second I'll talk about from an emotional and psycho spiritual standpoint. I was just in Las Vegas at HypnoThoughts Live, which is the largest hypnosis conference in the world, and I was lecturing for 5 days, and I was giving the public presentation of what I call the incense journey. It is not the actual Japanese incense ceremony, Kodo. But it is a experience that relates to it and gives people a lot of experience in different fragrances, and it becomes really powerful. Well, these two women who were actually from Canada, I think they're from Toronto. They came in and I could see they both were having head colds, and I said, are you all right? And they're like, no, we heard about you. We've got like this horrible sinus pressure and. You know, can you help us? And I said, of course. So I had them sit down in front of me as I lectured I was lecturing for 45 minutes, 15 minute break, 45 minutes, 15 minutes. Anyway, they stayed for like 3 sessions. And what I did during those 3 sessions were things that primarily reduce and attack any of the sinuses, open up the sinuses, kill bacteria, do a lot of things. Within 24 hours, they came back and they're like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. We don't know what you did, but we feel amazing. And I said, well, what we did was that we used these natural fragrances to open up your sinuses, to actually go in and attack the bacteria, the bad bacteria that was clogging up your sinuses, and it allowed it to move out very, very quickly. So real incense, true incense is actually healing. It's actually medicinal. You know,
It has medicinal properties and it's proven by science.
Absolutely. Okay. Up until about 120 years ago, at least in North America, we got most of our healing from our water, from our food, from our herbs, and from our mushrooms. And we have been systematically, you know, lowering the quality of our water, lowering the quality of our food, lowering the quality of our fragrances through synthetics, or not even ingesting mushrooms into our diet. And so we have missed out on a lot of these different things. And so
we're relying mostly now on medicines, which are all chemicals, right?
Right. But what's interesting is that they're all based on the original, you know, chemical composition of these things in nature.
True.
And so, and so, learning how to use these things, whether you're ingesting it, whether you're inhaling it, these are things that we've done for thousands and thousands of years that somehow we thought we were improving by moving to pills. But, you know, you can watch television now and see, you know, a 45 second commercial where it talks about how great this thing is for 5 seconds. And then the next 40 seconds is nothing but all the side effects, including death. And everyone's really happy in the process.
True.
That's odd,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
So back to the other experience is that I had an individual who was dealing with an emotional problem from her past for a very long time. And only after 4 sessions, she was able to forgive what she needed to forgive in the past. And it totally transformed who she was. And all of her anxiety went away. She found herself calm again. And so using these fragrances and using the techniques of hypnosis, she found for herself a new form of effectiveness that allowed her to be at home in her own body. And a lot of people who have, you know, these challenges are people that primarily don't feel comfortable in their own body, and they don't feel supported, and they don't feel loved, and they don't feel, you know, a whole number of things. And if you look, we all have aspects of this. I'm not immune from any of this. I've just been very fortunate to spend the last 30 years really doing some powerful work on myself, and then also offering these modalities to people. Because again, what I want everyone around me to do and be is as successful as they want to be. I want them to really, you know, be able to live the kind of life that they want. And sometimes I'm not the answer. You know, sometimes therapy is the answer. Sometimes, you know, other things are the answer. But here's what's cool about what I do. I'm not a licensed therapist, but I work a lot with licensed therapists because there are some people, especially, you know, people that have been in the military that have high levels of PTSD. They don't even want to talk about their issues. And by not talking about it, it's going to stay inside. And so what I will do is that I will do the incense journey for anywhere between 25 to 30 people and start to get people to have this wonderful experience of these fragrances that they suddenly are like, that's really cool. Wow, I feel relaxed for the first time. And then that may open the door for them to actually work with a licensed therapist. And that's what I love. And so that's why I'm working with different types of charities. Like one charity in particular, I work with the Special Operations Charity Network, known as SOCIN, which supports first responders and veterans in reducing their PTSD by bringing nature back into their life and really putting the integration that they need from a mental, physical, and spiritual standpoint.
John, you touched already upon my next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Sure.
Can hypnosis be a substitute for therapy, or it's more of a complementary tool that people can use in addition to therapy?
Well, so here's the interesting thing, is that I have to be careful in the words that I use, because I make no promises in what I do, because I am not a licensed therapist. But there are a lot of therapists who use hypnosis, and I work a lot with therapists who may not be doing hypnosis, but you know, they're like, hey, John, will you work with my client here on some hypnosis, and then we continue to work together. So it really depends on the individual. There are some people who have tried everything who then will come to me for hypnosis and have that breakthrough. But like I said, it really is, you know, you need to do the investigation and the work for yourself to find out what's best for you.
Okay, John, I also have another like general observation or question.
Sure.
We know that Freud, who is the founder of psychoanalysis and then one of the founders of psychology, is now part of this, or let's say respected and renowned name in the area of mental health and mental illnesses and all that. Milton Erickson, who is the founder of hypnosis, does he belong to the same level or to the same, like in a way, is he as respected as Freud or even Jung?
Well, I think it would kind of depend on really who you're talking to. Like, so if we go to the 18th century, for example, and we look at Franz Anton Mesmer, we've heard of mesmerism, right?
Yeah.
Well, so Mesmer, you know, talked about animal magnetism as a way to heal through trance-like states. Well, that was eventually found to be not true. But
okay.
But what he had figured out was putting people into trance allows yourself to take in suggestions that are actually good for you. So if we go from the 18th century to the 19th century and we look at James Braid, for example, James Braid termed or coined the term hypnosis, and really started putting it on a practice as a scientific method for psychological and medical treatments. Again, it is not an accident that very large medical and health organizations are using hypnosis to reduce pain, to speed up healing. And yes, of course, there's the other side of hypnosis, which can be the comedy stage shows where, you know, people are on stage and
yes,
doing a bunch of different things, right? For me, this is the spectrum of life. I mean, there's not one thing in the world that doesn't have a spectrum. You know, there's a spectrum of smell, there's a spectrum of sight,
sure,
you know, the spectrum of hearing. Well, you just need to find where you are in that. And part of the benefit of doing programs, you know, like yours, Ahmad, is that for some people who are listening to this, I won't resonate at all. But for some people that are listening, like, ah, you know what, he's saying things that relate to me and the way that I see the world. And that resonation, I know that I'm going to be able to work well with that person. Because if I have to convince you, or if I have to, you know, talk for 30 minutes about what all this is and it doesn't resonate and there isn't that same frequency, it's just not going to be effective. And so part of the reason why that I enjoy podcasts like this is that
I get to share information, and then also people that are looking for things that they may not necessarily have been able to find the solutions for, then I become one possible way that they can achieve the results that they want.
Absolutely. Do you think one day hypnosis will become more recognized by the medical or like the psychological field and integrated as one of the official disciplines? Do you think this may happen in the future?
Absolutely. I mean, it already is on
it already is.
It already is on so many different levels. Like if you were just to go out online and say, what major organizations, health organizations in North America use hypnosis, you'll literally have a list of about 75. But it's just not something that shows up kind of in the zeitgeist, like in the popular culture, you know. But when it does show up in popular culture, then you get movies that are like, oh, let me hypnotize you, let me have you join my cult and this and that. Well, that's how I know that it's become a part of society in an effective way. Anytime anything is parodied or made fun of, you know that it's gotten into the psyche of the culture.
Absolutely. I know for a fact that many celebrities and sports celebrities and high performers actively use hypnosis, as you just said, and probably self-hypnosis as well, right? So I've read in the past a book about hypnosis by someone called Bandler. I don't remember his family name, but he's kind of a renowned specialist in the field. And as you said, they talk a lot about cues. Can you expand a little bit on that topic before I move to the next topic?
On cues, you said?
Yeah, cues. So they mentioned like you can like use cues to remind yourself of a certain thing, and then let's say a sound, and then you can associate that sound to something that will, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So those cues are also sometimes called psychological anchoring. They can also be called scent anchoring. So back to the fragrance hypnosis is that if I'm working with somebody and we get to a place where I'm like, ah, this is, I want you to remember this. I might introduce a fragrance that is unique to them so that when they smell that fragrance again, they immediately go into that particular mindset. So that
like a shortcut. Yeah.
Like a shortcut, like a hack. Absolutely. So, you know, when you talk about sports, it's like Steph Curry has talked a lot about hypnosis. Michael Jordan talked a lot about the head game. And so, you know, when we're using either keywords, so sometimes in hypnosis, I might program you to say something to the effect of that when you see the color red will show up anywhere you don't need to look for. But when you see the color red will remind you of your goal of really being relaxed and calm. Every time you see the color red, you don't need to look for it, you'll see it. That is a cue, that is a psychological anchoring. And so it can be done with words, it can be done with music, it can be done with fragrance, it can be done, you know, with a number of things. I don't know if you remember the movie The Manchurian Candidate.
I've seen it, yes.
Well, that was a little bit of a joke, but also not really a joke in that—
There is some truth to it.
Yeah, sure. To it in that, you know, if I program you to a certain word and all of a sudden I need to have you see that certain word, boom, then you're in that space. And it is true that the—
It's like condition. So it's basically like conditioning in a way. And conditioning is the basic of psychology, right? Is a basic concept in psychology.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and conditioning, just like you're conditioning your muscles. Well, if you're conditioning your mind, is everything. If you don't have your mind, you don't have anything. Okay. And so how do you continue to refine your mind? Well, again, that can be done through hypnosis. It can be done through fragrance. It can be done with a whole number of modalities. Again, I just feel fortunate to have been trained in a number of them. And so I'm able to give people lots of different paths to the goals that they want.
Absolutely. John, the topic of hypnosis is fascinating. And, you know, it's very complex as well. What's the one thing you hope listeners take away from our conversation today about the power of hypnosis?
Yeah, I would say this, that anything is possible so long as it's generated by the mind.
Okay.
So and you may not even know what it is you want to work on. So again, that's the value and benefit of the free 45-minute hypnosis consultation that I give. It can be done
virtually. It can be done in person. So I work with people all over the world.
Okay.
And this 45 minutes is completely free, but at the end of the 45 minutes, you'll know exactly what it is that you want to do, whether you want to do this or not. But it gives you a great deal of insight, whether you work on hypnosis or not with me. It gives you a great deal of insight into the things that you might want to take a look at that will lead to more success for you.
All right. And John, finally, what's next for you? Any upcoming projects or developments in the world of hypnosis or fragrance therapy?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things. So depending on when this comes out, if you're in the Midwest, for example, in the United States, September 13th through 15th, I'll be at a weekend called the Integration Weekend, where I'll be presenting for 3 days all these modalities, and there's a number of other instructors that are going to be there, which is fantastic. September 28th, for example, here in St. Louis, Missouri, I'll be giving an all-day certification. I'll be bringing in my co-facilitator. She's considered a master hypnotist by the National Guild of Hypnotists, which is the oldest certifying body in the world. And we're going to do an all-day certification and course, and we've got people flying in from all over. That's coming up. I have a new book coming out called Love and Letters in World War II, which I'm excited about as well. Is it
related to hypnosis or it's unrelated?
Well, what's interesting is that there's a little bit of hypnosis in there, in that my grandfather, as he got older, started to really train more of his mind and got into different types of modalities. And some of those things did include hypnosis, even though he did not introduce me to hypnosis. But the point is that my grandfather used to say this: if you study one thing or many things deep enough, they all connect.
Very interesting.
Right. And that's another aspect of mastery, which is that masters of anything understand how to connect all pieces and parts. And so what I'm also interested in for people at the end of the day is their own personal mastery. As how do you integrate everything that you need to integrate? How do you, if you meet somebody and they trigger parts of yourself, well, that may be an area to work on for yourself, because why are you triggering you unless there's something unresolved within you? And so again, working with executives, working with business owners, working with, individuals, working with all people, bringing them back to their own center, bringing them back to the place of effectiveness. That is my joy. That's my purpose.
All right. And John, for those who want to know more or get in touch with you, could you provide, please, how can they reach you?
Sure, absolutely. So the easiest way to do this is to go to shihanwellness.com. So S-H-I-H-A-N, wellness.com. Shihanwellness.com. And then just take a look at the site. I mean, on that site, you'll learn about hypnosis. You'll learn about martial arts. And you'll learn about what I do with fragrance. But go to the contact page and then just hit, send a note. And by hitting the contact us, those emails will go directly to me and my staff, and then we will respond to that. So that's on the wellness side. On the business side of things, if you're interested in the work that we do from a business standpoint, that's shihan-consultants.com. Same thing there. You can send a message from contact us. But if you're on LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn. If you're on Facebook, I'm there as well. So that's easy to find. But that's the best way to get a hold of me.
Fantastic. John, it was a fascinating discussion we've had today. Any final words?
Ahmad, listen, I thank you for what you're doing. I think it's incredible that you're creating a platform for people to share what they do. This has been a wonderful interview. Thank you for the time. And I very much appreciate your time and energy.
Well, thank you, sir. We've learned a lot about hypnosis, and it is a very intriguing and interesting field. And I have personal interest in it, so I'm definitely going to check more and more your content as well.
Thank you.
And for sure, down the line, maybe we can have another discussion in the future to get more of your updates and what you're doing as well.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.